After graduating from Harvard, Sam Sheridan made the unorthodox decision to travel to Thailand and train intensively in a rather extreme form of kickboxing called Muay Thai. What followed was a worldwide quest of self-discovery, which involved learning numerous martial arts, and he has chronicled his journey in A Fighter's Heart, One Man's Journey Through the World of Fighting. It's published by Atlantic Monthly Press, and I'm very pleased to welcome Sam Sheridan to my show today. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning or good afternoon. You got stuck in the Midwest because of the snowstorms?
Yeah, we got iced in pretty well here, and the airports are pretty awful at the moment, so we're
I understand. I was a couple of weeks back. I was caught in that JetBlue mess and never up going to California as I had planned. So why did you decide to actively pursue fighting, of all things? Had you already engaged in combat sports?
Well, you know, I was, like a lot of young boys, I was certainly infatuated with kung fu movies and action figures and things like that, and the idea of becoming some kind of warrior was very appealing to me. But I boxed in college sort of very badly, and really the opportunity kind of presented itself. I was working on boats, and I had some money, and the opportunity to go live and train in Thailand came up, and I was young and foolish and thought I could survive it, so I went.
Well, you had also considered going into the military. Why hadn't you done that?
There's a lot of reasons. You know, basically the short answer is whenever I got close, something, a different offer would come along that I had trouble saying no to. The first time, you know, a guy offered me a job on to fix up a sailboat and sail it around the world, and he was going to pay me pretty well to do it, you know, and it's the kind of thing where you can't really say no to that. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so. And the second time, somebody, you know, wanted me to write a book. So basically, you know, I've had other offers. And I regret it. You know, there's certainly, you know, a part of me that will always regret it. My dad was in the military. But, you know, I have very, very conflicted feelings about the military.
Well, what is it about fighting that fascinates you? Do you think it's a way of dealing with your aggressions?
Well, I mean, fighting's a lot different than the military. You know, I'm not so interested in killing people or being a cog in a machine or being part of something like that. But, I mean, fighting is a way of dealing with aggression, but I think once you start getting into fighting on a really serious level, it's not so much about the other person as it is about yourself and about working to really create yourself and perfect yourself and work on where you're weak and what you need to do and things like that.
Well, the cover of the book has a picture of you with blood streaming from your face down all the way past your chest to about your navel. I don't know what you learn about yourself when you're in that kind of condition.
You learn a lot. I mean, it, for one thing, that doesn't hurt at all. And another thing is that wasn't my first choice of cover photos. That was a fight I lost on cuts. And you know, it's a little embarrassing to have the book that you're going to be looking at for the rest of your life be a fight that you lost as the cover. But you do learn a lot about yourself from a loss as much as a win, and you learn a lot about yourself under adversity and kind of you learn not to be afraid of things that might scare you otherwise.
Well, you said that you were traveling around the world. You were in Australia when you became interested in Muay Thai, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I had just gotten off a boat that had come across the Pacific, and I was sort of at loose ends in Darwin, Australia.
And can you explain what Muay Thai is?
Muay Thai is Thai kickboxing, which is the sort of national sport of Thailand, and it's extremely popular there. It's a little more vigorous than American style kickboxing in that it allows elbows and knees, and then you fight in the clinch.
And you were studying it in Australia?
A little bit, yeah. I sort of got into it a little bit there, and this guy just told me, he said, you know, if you can go to Thailand, you should go. And it's cheaper and much better training. And, you know, what you can learn in a month there is like what you can learn in a year anywhere else. So,
well, what kind of training schedule do they put you under in Thailand?
They have a pretty serious training schedule. You're living in a camp with full-time professional fighters, so you're basically, you know, running in the dark at dawn and then going right into about 3 hours of training and eating a little bit and resting and then training again and then resting. I mean, all you do is eat, train, and sleep. That's it.
Now, what was your goal here? To learn how to do this or just to experience it and then move on and learn other fighting styles as well?
I'm not even sure what my goal was, to be exact. I mean, it was sort of something I'd always been curious about, you know, whether I could go live in a temple or live somewhere and really, you know, become an ascetic and really devote myself, you know, how far could I take it and how good could I become, which is, you know, not very far and not very good, I discovered. But it was...
Although you did win your only match.
I won that one. Luckily, that one worked out well. But, you know, it just sort of took on a momentum of its own. And one of the interesting things about fighting and when you start training is that it does become very addictive, and the feelings and the adrenaline and the excitement become sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
But you said it's all about discovering yourself. So why do you think so many people like to watch, people who would never engage in that kind of thing?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons that people are drawn to fighting, and a lot of them are genetic. I think, you know, as animals, you're always aware of who the stronger animal is around you, and you kind of want to see what's going on and you know, who's the toughest, just in case you need to know that as a caveman, you would want to know that stuff. So there's the genetic reason, and I also think once you become a fight fan and you start watching fights, and it takes a long time, you have to watch, you know, hundreds and hundreds of bad fights before you see one good one. But eventually you really will see a fight that transcends sport and becomes art, and there's nothing better than to see a truly great fight. You know, it can be as moving as anything that you can see.
Well, it works both ways. I used to watch boxing, and then one day I saw this documentary about a man who was urinating blood after he had been kidney punched a number of times, just
sure.
A regular boxer. I started seeing other fights where people were really hurt,
mm-hmm.
and I was turned off by it. So some people are turned on by it, and some people are turned off.
No, I mean, there is a price that everyone pays. You know, there is a definite price, and you know, you have either little concussions or big concussions, and you don't sleep well, and that's the road to punchiness. You know, which you know, basically we're all on to some level or another. But I think, you know, it's one of those things you sort of have to deal with, and you know, soccer players get it from hitting the ball, and you know, any brain trauma at all is bad. So I mean, there's a certain amount that you just deal with.
Tell us about Apide Sitthum.
Apide Sitthum is
it's Harun?
Muay Thai fighter of the century for the 20th century, and just a wonderful human being. There's an interesting phenomenon which I first noticed in Thailand, and was what kind of led me into this quest was the fact that the really good Thai boxers, the great ones, had this kind of tranquility and this humility and this almost, you know, very Buddhist sort of Zen feel about them, and they just radiated warmth and love. And Apide, who was this unbelievable fighter, you know, sort of the Michael Jordan or the Muhammad Ali of Muay Thai, is just a wonderful guy. He's just a prince, and everything about him is good. So when I started to focus on him, and then I started to see it in other fighters as well, and it sort of led me along the path.
Well, many years ago, a sports writer told me that heavyweights tend to be really sweet-natured when they're not fighting, and then Mike Tyson came along. So I guess there are always exceptions, perhaps even in Thai kickboxing. So you had one fight we established earlier,
mm-hmm.
and your opponent was rumored to be a former member of the Yakuza.
Well, you know, it's hard to say, but he had the full-on body tattoos, and he was missing his pinky, and, you know, the Thais certainly thought he was Yakuza. They were screaming Yakuza the whole fight long, and he showed up with his bunch of big buddies, and I was pretty intimidated.
But you won. How come?
Well, you know, basically he wasn't in shape. It's definitely a game where conditioning is incredibly important, and he was a better fighter than me. He had I think he was an Osakan karate champion of some kind. He had some full contact experience. He knocked me down, but he gassed out. He ran out of steam, and I kneed him in the stomach, and that was that.
And then you quit after that one fight.
Well, basically, yeah, I didn't have any money, and I wasn't going to be a pro fighter. You know, I was about 26 at the time and starting much too late. And it's not a lifestyle that I was really drawn to in the sense of really giving it a go as a professional because it's astoundingly boring. I mean, Norman Mailer wrote about Muhammad Ali, and he wrote about how the training really was killing his soul, you know, and there's something to that. I think being in constant training is it's like being in prison.
My guest is Sam Sheridan, who has written for Men's Journal and Newsweek and now has his first book called A Fighter's Heart, One Man's Journey Through the World of Fighting. It's published by Atlantic Monthly Press. You left Thailand, but then you became interested in ultimate fighting.
Yeah, well, you know, I did a lot of other things. I got into wildland firefighting, and I worked construction in Antarctica and a few other things. And basically, people kept telling me what a great story this Thailand thing was, and I should write it down, and so I did. And then eventually Men's Journal ran the story, and they were asking, are there more fight stories out there? And I had just been back in my hometown of Amherst, Massachusetts, and I was really surprised to see what you call ultimate fighting or cage fighting, and everybody else calls MMA or mixed martial arts, had this huge amateur presence in America. There was hundreds of amateur cage fights going on in the country a year, and there's all these regular guys, you know, who are dentists and chiropractors and whatever are getting in a cage and fighting on an amateur level.
Although there are also people who would like to legislate it out of existence, aren't there?
I don't even know. I mean, I know John McCain in 95 was against it, and he called it human cockfighting, but that was when I think McCain really was an old-school boxing fan, and boxing was very threatened by MMA when it first appeared and didn't understand, you know, sort of the technical aspect, which is this wrestling and ground fighting part of mixed martial arts.
Well, you hadn't wrestled. You said you had boxed. So
yeah,
was that a handicap here?
What's that?
Was that a handicap in becoming a decent ultimate fighter?
Absolutely. No, I was never a decent ultimate fighter. But I was curious, and I was interested. So I went out to where I am right now, which is at Pat Miletich's gym in Iowa, Champions Fitness, which of course, because you know Iowa has great wrestling, is the home to some of the best American MMA fighters, and I lived out here and trained out here and fought out here, and that's why that cover is so bloody right there.
And you you wound up fighting in this case, not winning.
Yeah.
What is the difference? You seem to be rather blasé after you won. What about losing? Was that a different kind of experience for you?
It's hard, and especially when you lose on cuts, because it's hard to sort of, there's a lot of what ifs, you know, like, oh, they stopped it, and, you know, I didn't feel that bad, and, you know, but I lost. He was beating me up pretty good. So, you know, you try to learn from it and try to not to do it again. You know, the thing about fighting is it's actually, you know, it's extremely civilized. You know, there's a guy who's agreeing to meet you and make a certain weight, and, you know, he's going to abide by these rules, and they've been agreed on. And we'll stop the minute I want to stop, or he wants to stop, we'll stop. So he's agreeing to be, you know, he's agreeing to be my test, you know, and I'm agreeing to be his test. So there's something very kind of spiritual about it, and very, very civilized.
You also tried your hand at Tai Chi, which is perhaps the most civilized of all the martial arts.
Yeah, well, I was curious about Tai Chi because, you know, it is this very slow-moving sort of very stylized Chinese form, but it's very connected to some of the oldest martial arts in the world. And certainly in medieval China, you know, life was cheap and they were fighting all the time. It wasn't disconnected from fighting when it originated. It sort of has become so since. So I kind of wanted to find out what was happening in Tai Chi and whether I could still get something that would help me with my active fighting.
Doesn't Tai Chi actually doesn't involve you using the other person's aggression against himself? He lunges at you, and you just help him move along.
Well, Tai Chi is about circling. You might be thinking of Aikido, which is strictly Japanese, there is some of that too. Tai Chi, which is, you know, a lot of circling and a lot of redirection, and it's more about, to me, a very sort of surface level was, you know, I only did it for a couple of months. You need to study it for 10 or 15 years before you really can say you know anything about it. But it was more about sort of working on your form at a very slow speed so your form can be perfect, and a way to coil and uncoil and really create, generate power, you know, with correct form. And it's interesting because a lot of old Tai Chi poses look a lot like old boxing pictures. If you look at, you know, the way Joe Louis used to pose, mm-hmm. or some of those guys, they would coil up like springs. And there's a lot of similarities to what Tai Chi does.
Now, where do you think women fit into all of this? There are women who box.
Absolutely. There are some great women who box, and there are plenty of women who do mixed martial arts and fight. I mean, there are girls here in Iowa who have beaten four or five guys at, you know, in a cage.
Do you think that all humans have a violent, darker side, only some are more likely to act on them than others?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think everybody has got the fight or flight instinct, which, you know, for me, I wouldn't say.
Oh, me, it's flight or flight.
What's that?
With me, it's flight or flight.
That's what you think, but then you wait till somebody smacks you in the head, and then all of a sudden you start doing something a little different than what you thought you might do. So that, there's that adrenaline capacity, I think, in everyone, and everyone, you know, if the situation is right, we'll certainly fight. I think that girls who fight, I think it's great. You know, I don't have any problem with it. It's not the most interesting thing to me. I think, you know, as a sport, I'm more interested in men fighting. Like, I'm more interested in men's basketball than I am in women's basketball. But I think it's great. And then there are some girls out there who would crush me. So,
you say that all the time you were doing this, you were reading books, playing chess, listening to National Public Radio.
Absolutely.
Also got an art history degree from Harvard.
Studio art degree.
So do you think there are other Ivy League scholars and painters who have led similar lives?
It's not that uncommon with, not so much with boxing, but with this mixed martial arts, this cage fighting, a lot of the champions have degrees or even master's degrees. You know, there's a lot of martial arts background, so there's more of a sense of some of the spiritual aspects of fighting and honor and you know, concepts that are sort of more complicated. And there's a lot of education that you know, you might not expect.
What kind of art do you do?
Right now I write, and I wish I still, but unfortunately I don't paint too much. I was sort of a figurative painter.
And was there any connection between your fighting side and your painting side, other than attacking the canvas with a brush?
Yeah, you might say that. You know, I've never found them to be diametrically opposed or really, you know, in opposition at all. To me, they were sort of both, you know, expressions of personality. And Ronald Laval wrote, you know, how a great fight can become art, and that great fighters should be accorded the same things that great artists are accorded. They create a sense of opportunity in a, you know, a world of danger, things like that. I mean, I think they are similar in some ways, but of course, you know, they're also very different.
Well, if somebody just wanted to learn about him or herself, which martial art would you suggest?
You know, I honestly would say if you really want to learn something, you got to box, because you got to get hit in the face and sort of know what that's like before you do anything else, because that'll change what you think is possible and what you think you can do. Once you start getting punched in the face, you start realizing very quickly what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Sam Sheridan's A Fighter's Heart, or Getting Punched in the Face, One Man's Journey Through the World of Fighting, is published by Atlantic Monthly Press. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.